Okay, Matthew chapter 27. Again, we're just a few verses away from the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. We weren't not going to get there today, probably not going to get there next week. It'll be a few weeks yet, but we're getting closer. So let's begin in verse 11. It says, "And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, Art thou king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders and answered nothing, then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him, Never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly." Now, just to pick up where we left off last week, the religious Jews have taken Jesus before Pilate in hopes of getting a death sentence for him. They've already falsely accused and falsely convicted him of blasphemy according to their own law, and now they're trying to get the authority of Rome behind them so that they can have this, they can carry out the execution. But I also remind you of something we discussed last week. They are also attempting before Pilate to betray Jesus as an insurrectionist, to present him to Pilate as an enemy of Rome, okay? Let me read to you out of Luke 23 and verse 1, parallel passage of this. It says, "And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying," now watch these accusations, "We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ the King." And so what they're saying there, they're these making these accusations, they're saying, "Hey, he's an enemy of Rome. He's telling people to not pay their taxes, and he says he's the king." In other words, implying that he's going to usurp the authority of the king. And so, if they could get these accusations to stick, they would not only get what they wanted as far as having Jesus put to death, but they also could deflect the responsibility of that death off of themselves and onto Rome, and they would tickle them to death because, remember, Jesus is still held in high esteem by some, if not many still. And Jerusalem, right at this point, is packed full of people by the thousands because it's the Passover week, Passover celebration. And so that congestion and the people, some people still being in favor of Jesus, could honestly, there could be an uprising. There was the risk of that, and so their hopes are that Governor Pilate would find him guilty of rebellion against Rome, and that way he could do the dirty work, and they could deflect that responsibility and say, "Hey, Pilate did this. Pilate killed him," and so far it's not working, though, okay? Because there is no evidence whatsoever to substantiate their claims about Jesus. We looked at that last week. He at no point told anybody not to pay their taxes. He actually told them to pay their taxes. That was their responsibility. And he certainly was not an insurrectionist. If he had been, Pilate and any of the other authorities that be would have dealt with him swiftly because they had zero tolerance for any kind of defiance against Rome. And so all of this is falsehood. So let me do this. We're going to move you around tonight. Let me lead you over to John chapter 18, and we're going to look at the parallel passage of this and pick up some things. Like I say, each of the gospel, they may include some of the same things, but some, one of the four, maybe perhaps will have an additional bit of information. And so when we harmonize the four of them, we gain a whole lot more perspective on what's taking place there. So we get over to John chapter 18, and in verse 28 it says, "Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas to the hall of judgment, and it was early." I'll remind you that they speculate it was about 5 in the morning, okay? "And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover." Let me tell you what's being said there. They've gone to this Gentile judgment hall where Pilate, the governor, judges, and they're very careful to not enter because these are the highly religious Jews, and if they were to enter in, then they would defile themselves according to their more tradition than the law, and then would not be able to participate the way they wanted in the Passover week, okay? And so that's what that's about. And then we go to verse 29, and it says, Pilate then went out unto them. So he was inside, came out to them, and he said, What accusations bring ye against this man? And they answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him unto thee. I want you to notice, Pilate is inquiring about what charges they are bringing against Jesus. And their response is if you read it carefully, it's really sarcasm that they're saying there. It's almost like they're saying, hey, what difference does it make? We brought him to you. If we brought him to you, he's guilty. If we say he's a malefactor, then he's a malefactor. Now, that word malefactor means evildoer or criminal. And so, in other words, they're really thinking, they're coming to the situation just thinking, hey, Pilate's going to do what we tell him to do. He's going to take us at their word, and he's going to convict him and then carry out the execution. But it wasn't that easy. And if we'll notice in verse 31, then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him, and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death. So he's telling them, after their sarcastic remark, he said, Why don't you take him back to y'all's court and do what you need to do with him and leave me alone. It's too early this morning, okay? And basically, you guys go do your thing if you're going to be the way you're being, okay? But they can't do without his help, and they explain that to him. We can't carry out a death sentence. We can't crucify him, and so we need your help. And verse 33 says, Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou King of the Jews? So he has Jesus inside. And Jesus was a Jew. You would think the authorities would have said, Well, no, he's a Jew, he can't enter in. But they weren't concerned about Jesus. And Pilate takes him in there, and he asks him point blank, Art thou the King of the Jews? Now, you at least Pilate, unlike the Jews, was trying to carry out a legitimate legal hearing to some extent here. He's actually wanting to know what the charges are and if there is going to be any kind of an indictment. And so he's questioning Jesus about the charges. In verse 34, Jesus answered him, saying, Sayest thou this of thyself, or did others tell thee of me? So it seems as though Jesus is asking this question in order to make Pilate think, maybe to provoke a little bit of thought. He's basically saying, Do you think I'm guilty, or are you just going to go on what others are saying about me? It's what it seems to me to be saying. It's almost like he's saying, Do I look like a person that is trying to become an earthly king? Do I seem to be a person that's trying to overthrow Rome? You know, it's just kind of like, are you gonna go on these accusations, or what do you think? Okay, and certainly, I know Jesus was not coming with these remarks with sarcasm. He was just trying to provoke thought. And so he goes on in verse 35. And Pilate answered and said, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? So he's saying, hey, your own people are saying this. They're making these accusations. So answer my question. Are you guilty or not? Essentially, he's saying, are you the King of the Jews? Answer my question. Are you trying to lift yourself up as a king and usurp authority? And verse 36, Jesus remarks again and answers. He says, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, and I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. And so Jesus, he's saying, hey, if my kingdom was of this world and I was trying to become an earthly king, I was trying to overthrow Rome or anything else, then my followers, which his disciples and any other followers, they would have already fought and tried to keep me from getting arrested. And nobody's fighting. Nobody's resisted. He's saying if all of this were true, then you would it would be coming out right now. Me and my people would be trying to resist and not let these religious Jews arrest me. And then we get to verse 37. And then Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? So here again, he asked that question. He's found nothing incriminating about Jesus. And he's just saying point blank, once again, answer the question. Are you a king or trying to be a king? And then he goes on in verse 37. And Jesus answered and says, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness of the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Now, again, Pilate's presented with zero evidence to incriminate Jesus, anything about Jesus that would make him think he's guilty. So he's going to render his verdict now in verse 38. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again. So we're not going to camp on what he meant by what is truth. There's not a lot that I could add to that, okay? So I'm just going to skim over that. And notice what he says then. And when he had said this, he went out again. So he's leaving the judgment hall and walking back outside where the religious Jews were. And he saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. So at this point, you got to kind of commend Pilate for being actually giving Jesus a legitimate legal hearing of his situation. And then he's rendering a verdict here. He's saying, by saying, I find in him no fault at all. Those words, I find, are essentially represent a judicial decision, an actual verdict. I find. In fact, we still use that terminology in our judicial system today. We hear people say the language of he is found guilty, right? Or the jury, what are your findings? And the jury might say, the jury finds such and such, so and so, guilty of all charges or not guilty or whatever. So the terminology that they're using, that he uses here, is still used today. By Pilate saying, I find no fault in him, he is rendering his verdict, and he's essentially dismissing the charges. He's throwing this case out of court at this point. Under most circumstances, that would be the end of it. Jesus would be turned loose, and he'd go about his business, and they'd be kicking cans down the road and be upset. But that wasn't the end of it, because Pilate is in a quandary here. Though he's convinced of the innocence of the Lord Jesus Christ, he also knew the risk of upsetting these religious Jews, these powers that be of the Jewish nation. And I read a lot of smart guys, okay, preparing this. And extra-biblical history records that Pilate has had other run-ins that have put him in hot water, so to speak, with Caesar. He's already had some problems in his leadership as the governor of this province. And so his position as governor of that region was kind of on shaky ground up to this point already. And actually, it would remain on shaky ground going forward for the remainder of his tenure. And actually, finally, again, extra-biblical history teaches that what he feared the most did actually come to pass. He actually was replaced as a governor, and his political career was over, and he was actually banished to a place called Gaul, and he ultimately took his own life, committed suicide. There again, that's not biblical history, that's extra-biblical history. But there again, things didn't go well for Pilate. But at this point, at this moment in this text, he is in a quandary. He's trying to walk a tightrope, if you will, between wrongly convicting the Lord Jesus Christ and offending the Jews. He's trying to figure out how to navigate these waters. The Jews have brought him before brought Jesus before him. They've got their expectations. He sees no fault in the Lord Jesus Christ. He deems him innocent, but he knows they're going to be upset. And so that leads us let me tell you just a little bit about Matthew's gospel. Now, we're not going to turn over there, but here's the parallel. Here's what's happening in Matthew's gospel that's not recorded in our text here Luke's gospel. Luke's gospel in 23. We can go back to Matthew, if you will, to 27. Let me get my gospels lined out here, okay. What's recorded in Luke's gospel that's not in Matthew's gospel here is that Pilate, at this point, at the end of verse 14, Pilate decides that he's going to try to dodge, it's an effort to dodge responsibility, and he refers this case to Herod. And Herod happened to be in town, by the way. He didn't have authority in that town, in Jerusalem, but he was the procurator of Galilee, but he happened to be in town visiting at the time. So Pilate decides that, hey, I heard that this guy, they called him a Galilean, and Herod happens to be the governor of Galilee. I'm going to defer to him. I'm going to take him to Herod, and let's let Herod carry the weight of this thing here and figure it out for us, okay? And so Luke 23 provides for us that portion of the story. And of course, he goes, you can read it on your own, it's in Luke 23. He goes before Herod, and Herod interrogates him, gives him a hearing, and he too finds no fault in Jesus, certainly nothing worthy of death, and he comes up with the same verdict. So, but he does, being fairly corrupt, he allows his soldiers to ridicule Jesus and begin to mock him and put, the scripture says, a gorgeous robe on him. And so that's how Jesus ended up being robed in purple. It was Herod's soldiers that did that. And that was pretty much the extent of what happened with Herod. And then now that brings us all the way back. That happened between verse 14 and verse 15. Those things took place. Okay, you have to trust me on it. Read it on your own. And that leads us back now to chapter 27 and verse 15. And let's read, let me just read a few verses here and comments, and then I'll have you on your way. It says, Now at the feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on his judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. So we're not going to comment a lot and spend any time at this moment, we will the next time we're together, on the situation with the Barabbas, other than to say that is Pilate's next effort to try to relieve his conscience of crucifying an innocent man, but also appease the Jews. He's still in this quandary. But he's got another problem now. And we just read it in verse 27. His wife, okay, she says, you better not do anything wrong to this guy. I've had some bad dreams today about this situation. And so now, adding to the pressure of he's already under, he has a concerned wife. We know what kind of pressure that brings on a fella. And in this particular case, this is one time a husband should have listened to his wife. Okay? He should have. But we know he didn't, because as going forward, he's going to make his ruling. We know that ultimately. And he'll say, let him be crucified. Okay? So appreciate you guys being attentive and listening to me stumble around up here between all these gospels. But I think we got the point across. Let's go ahead and stand. And you guys have a good remainder of the week. See you Sunday. Bring somebody. Tell them, say, hey, we're going to have some wonderful singing. Our choir's well prepared to bless us. And so come go with me, okay? Potluck Sunday night. And Let's dismiss in a word of prayer. Okay, Jeff, will you lead us?